Let us pray. Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes, that we may see the Christ in each other. And so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our ears, O God, that we may hear your word, and that word will influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You would recall that our theme for this year is living our core values. And we said that every month we will be talking about one of those 8 core values that we have been given by our church. We started with love in January, and because of Lent and Easter, we skipped February and March. So this month, April, we are supposed to be talking about the second of our core values, that of faithfulness. Faithfulness. And today we want to look at faithfulness in adversity. All of us have heard the expression, being a fair weather friend. A fair weather friend is one who is with you in good times, but disappears when there are challenges and when you are in trouble. In fact, they disappear the time you need a friend most. And so, if we are to be faithful to God, we don't want to have this characteristic of a fair weather friend. That is, being faithful to God when things are going well, and then abandoning God when we are in trouble. And so it is important for us, I think, to reflect on the story of Joseph, taken from the book of Genesis, chapters 37 to 50. And the story of Joseph is a story of a man's faithfulness to God in the face of great adversity. Joseph, you would recall, was the second to last son of Jacob. He was the first son of his mother, Rachel, and he had a brother called Benjamin. And Jacob was the family favorite. In fact, we would describe him today as a spoiled child. He was arrogant. He was conceited. He was also gifted by God with the gift of dreams, even though he did not know at the time what the dreams meant. But he had these dreams, these visions of his brothers, first of all, bowing down to him, and then the whole family bowing down to him. And of course, Joseph, in his indiscretion, would tell his brothers about this dream. And that only increased their jealousy and their anger against him. So the brothers contrived to get rid of him. Of course, Joseph grew up in the house of Jacob, and therefore he understood the faith and the religion of his ancestors. He worshipped the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, the one true God. One day he went to visit his brothers who were in the fields, and they seized the opportunity to send him into slavery. They sold him as a slave to slave traders who were going to Egypt. And so he found himself as a house slave in the house of an Egyptian called Potiphar, who was a prince of Pharaoh. Even in slavery, even in the house of one who worshipped idols, Joseph remained faithful to God. As far as he was able, he would practice his religion, the religion of his ancestors. And so God was with him. And he rose up in the ranks of the servants in the house of Potiphar. He became the overseer of Potiphar's house. A very exalted position for a foreigner. But it was because of Joseph's faithfulness. Again, of course, there was adversity. For Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. And in his refusal of her, he refused to bow to her wishes. His main concern was the fact that he did not want to sin against God. He did not want to sin against God. And his second consideration was that he wanted to be loyal to his master, Potiphar. So even in this challenge, in the face of imprisonment, Joseph would remain faithful. Faithful to the commandments of God and faithful to his master. And so for his refusal, he was put in prison. Again, another situation of adversity. But even in prison, as best as he could, he would practice his faith. And of course, the grace of God was with him. And so he earned in prison respect, not only from his fellow prisoners, but from those who were keeping him captive. And so he was quickly again promoted to a position of importance among the prisoners. He had a great deal of freedom even in prison. And Joseph remained faithful to God. And the writer of the book of Genesis puts it like this: the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Joseph's faithfulness resulted in him experiencing prosperity even in the situation of adversity. And so he remained in prison, and one day Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker were put in prison to await trial. they were accused of some misdemeanor, and so they were put in prison. And both of them had dreams. And in trying to decide what these dreams meant, they went to Joseph. There was something about him they felt would be able to explain these dreams to them. And so Joseph listened and he interpreted their dreams. He told the butler that in 3 days he will be restored to his position as Pharaoh's cupbearer. And he had to tell the baker that in 3 days he would be executed. And as we say, so said, so done. His interpretation of the dreams came true. Because, of course, it was a gift from God, the ability to interpret dreams. Was a gift that God gave to Joseph for his faithfulness. And so the baker was executed and the butler was restored to his position with the promise that he would bring Joseph's situation before Pharaoh. Because, of course, Joseph was innocent. The butler turned out to be unfaithful. For as soon as he was freed and back to his position, he forgot about Joseph. In fact, he forgot about Joseph for 2 years. Until one day, Pharaoh had a dream. And none of the magicians, none of the people in the court of Pharaoh could interpret this dream. And then the butler remembered Joseph. To his credit, he told Pharaoh about Joseph, that Joseph had interpreted his dream, and so Joseph was brought before Pharaoh. Again, he listened. And by God's grace, that power which God gives us to do God's will, he interpreted the dream. He told Pharaoh that Egypt and the surrounding nations would experience 7 years of plenty. But these 7 years of plenty will be followed by 7 years of famine. Interestingly enough, a principle that obtains even today. Years of plenty are also followed by years of famine, years of lack, as we should know in this place, even today. And so Joseph advised Pharaoh that he should appoint someone to be responsible for, first of all, taking advantage of the years of plenty and producing food that could be stored away so that they would be able to survive the years of famine. And Pharaoh, in his wisdom, appointed Joseph. This Hebrew young man, by then he was a young man, rose to the position of second in command in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Why? Because he remained faithful to his God. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. He spent 10 years in the service of Potiphar. He spent 3 years in prison. And during that time, Joseph could have said to himself, well, this God of my ancestors has abandoned me. But no, he remained faithful to God, even in the situation of adversity. All in all his challenges, Joseph would not abandon his faith in God, and God remained faithful to him. And we need to note that faithfulness has nothing to do with age. At 17, he was faithful. Faithfulness has to do with understanding who God is. Faithfulness has to do with striving to build a relationship with God, to come to know God, so that you could believe in God, so that you could trust God with your life and with the life of those whom you love. Faithfulness has to do with understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And God's plan and God's purpose is a good purpose. So even in the face of adversity, we are called to remain faithful because we know at the end of the day, we have a good purpose. We have a place in God's world and a purpose to fulfill. And so Joseph remained faithful to God, and God remained faithful to him. One writer says, our faithfulness activates God's power. Our faithfulness activates God's power because God acts on behalf of those who are faithful. And you see, his faithfulness to God influenced the way he lived. It influenced the way he responded to situations. Joseph always returned evil with goodness. He would not betray Potiphar, his master, by sleeping with his wife, even at the cost of going to prison. In his faithfulness to God, Joseph was able to forgive the brothers who sold him into slavery and be reconciled with them. In his faithfulness to God, Joseph was rewarded with being united once more with his younger brother Benjamin, and being united with his father, who was told he was dead. In his faithfulness to God, Joseph was able to bring his father, all his father's wives, all his father's children and grandchildren to live in a place near to Egypt, where the seed of a great nation began to germinate. It was while they were living under the protection of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh in Joseph's time, that the children of Israel began to flourish into a great nation. And so we need to understand, as we reflect on this core value this value that the church invites us to take to heart and to live by, that faithfulness is an attribute of God. God is faithful. God is infinitely and unchangeably true. The writer of the book of Genesis, Deuteronomy in chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments." God is faithful, and God desires those who are striving to love God to be faithful in their dealings with God and with others. And notice from the story of Joseph that God rewards faithfulness. God was with Joseph every step of the way, and everywhere he went, not only were people attracted to him, but he prospered in whatever he did. In these times where there is so much crime and violence and dishonesty and corruption, Jesus has called us to be his disciples. And as disciples of Christ, we are called to faithfulness. Our church has reminded us, by making faithfulness one of our core values, that we must be faithful disciples. It is one of the principles by which we must live, the principle of faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, obedience to God's law and God's will in every aspect of our lives. We have to be faithful to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, so that when God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, we will act on it. We will be obedient because we know that God desires what is best for us. We are called to be faithful disciples of Christ, understanding that the Holy Spirit can give us the gift of faithfulness. Paul lists faithfulness as one of, as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so if we really allow the Holy Spirit to direct and to guide our lives, being faithful to God will not be a challenge. Being faithful to God will come naturally. We will be able to resist the temptations of the world. We will be able to follow God's pathway for us. And if we understand the story of Joseph, we will prosper. We will prosper materially, emotionally, and of course, spiritually. So we need, in this month where we are talking about faithfulness, to read again the story of Joseph, to reflect on it, and to understand that God is calling us to faithfulness in good times and in bad. As we face the challenges of life, the Holy Spirit is able to empower us to remain faithful to God without turning aside, without growing weary. and understand this, that faithfulness to God engenders faithfulness in all aspects of our lives. We will be faithful to our parents. We will be faithful to the promises that we made and we took upon ourselves at confirmation. We will be faithful to any vow that we make before God, so that we will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be faithful in marriage. And of course, God will bless us. God desires his children to be faithful, and God rewards faithfulness with blessings. And as we sang in our Psalm 4, verse 3, know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord be with you.